We are back in our in Trinity Presbyterian Church's version of Stump the Chump, where you ask the questions and we try to our best ability. It's my week to be the chump. We call it Since You Asked. It's questions that the congregation has asked, and we try to answer them from Scripture. I did a very bad job of titling this sermon. Was David really a man after God's own heart? Well, the obvious answer to that is yes. It says it three times in the Scripture. Let's pray. All right. Now, the real question is, how could David be a man after God's own heart after all the bad stuff that he did? Because he did some bad stuff. And the real question that we want to ask tonight is, what does it mean that David was a man after God's own heart? I'd encourage you to turn to 1 Samuel. I've got three passages here. One in Acts 13, 22. But in 1 Samuel, it says it twice. In 1 Samuel 13, 14. And in 1 Samuel 16, 7. And then again, Paul reiterates in the New Testament. I'm just going to read those three passages just so you get an idea of what's being said. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be a prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." That's Samuel talking to Saul. And then 1 Samuel 16, 7, just a few chapters later. "But the Lord said to Samuel," this is when he goes to Jesse's house to find the next king. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And then lastly, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and you may turn there if you wish. We're probably going to turn back to 1 Samuel, I'll just warn you. I don't know why I said that. This is Paul. My bad. "And when he had removed him, he raised up David," talking about Saul again, "he raised up David, their king, of whom he testified and said, I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all of my will." So what does that mean? What does that mean that David is a man after God's own heart? Well, let me pray and we'll see if we can't find out. Lord, help us this evening. Lord, we want to be stimulated mentally. What we really want, Lord, is for you to illuminate our minds. But Lord, what we need, even more than that, is that you would speak to our hearts. And we pray that you would do that through your word. In Christ's name, amen. I'm sure you've seen The Princess Bride. It's like a 30-year-old movie, so I'm going to spoil a little bit of it here. Get ready. There's a scene at the beginning of the movie where the three criminals are being chased by the dread pirate Roberts. And every time that they set a trap for him, he overcomes the trap. And the guy, Bazzini, the leader, the brains of the operation, keeps saying, "Inconceivable." He just says it over and over and over again, "Inconceivable." And at one point, Inigo Montoya says to him, "I do not think that word means what you think it means." And I don't know if this happens to you, but because of my particular area of ministry, this happens to me a lot, is that lots of times I will hear a phrase and I'm not totally sure what it means. And if I'm not careful, I will use it and I'll end up saying something that I did not intend to say. I've heard a lot of people do that. I don't know if you guys do this. You use a word, you're not totally sure what it means, but you just use it anyway because maybe it makes you sound smart or it feels right. And there are a lot of people who I could name check sitting in the pews that I've heard do this exact thing, but they can all, Claude, Mary Cam, Marty, several people, they can all rest easy. I'm not going to tell about the times when they did that. That came to my mind as I prepared this sermon. Instead, I'll tell you about an aunt of mine, and she'll remain nameless, but absolutely an aunt, and her daughter, my cousin, told me the story that she thought that the phrase LOL, are you familiar with LOL? She thought that the word LOL meant lots of love, which is a really sweet thing to do. That's a really sweet thing to say, lots of love to you. But What it really means is I'm laughing out loud. Like, I'm, and that really came back to bite her when, a lady that she knew, her mother passed away, and my aunt wrote on her Facebook wall, "I'm sorry about your mom, LOL." And my cousin was like, "Mom, you have to delete that right now." And she was like, "It means lots of love." And she was like, "No, it doesn't. You're laughing at this woman's pain." And she was mortified, and she deleted the comment. Actually, she left, as certain people who were born in certain generations tend to do. Instead of just deleting it, she left like a long prose about how she had, in the comments. She should be like, "Now you just stop." Well, I went around this week, and I just asked people, what do you think it means that David was a man after God's own heart? In fact, I want you to think about this for a second. If I were to call you up here right now and be like, tell us what you think it means that David was a man after God's own heart. First of all, for some of you, that is like you just got very tense because that's like your nightmare, is to have to come up and talk about something that you're unsure about. But what would you say? What would you say if I said, tell me what it means that David is a man after God's own heart? And I got a lot of different answers, not surprisingly. And most people were not very sure. Once I asked them, I would say, "Hey, what do you know about David?" And they would be like, "Well, he slew Goliath." "Well, what else do you know about him in the Bible?" "Oh, well, he's a man after God's own heart." "Hey, what does that mean?" "Well, I think it means..." And you could just see them like, "Is this a trap? Am I being trapped right now?" Well, what I want to do tonight is I want to explore that phrase and what it means. I don't want us to use it like my aunt used LOL, not really knowing what it means. I want us to talk about what it means. I'll do three things. First, I want to talk about what it definitely does not mean, all right? And then I want to tell you two options for what it could mean. So first, what does it definitely not mean? I heard this response. That David was a man after God's own heart means that David had a good heart, and that's why he chose him to be king over Israel. David had a good heart. I call that the country music gospel. David was just a good old boy, and that is he was good in his heart. You know, he had his wild days, but he was a good in his heart, and that is why God chose him to be king. I even got a country song to read to you. This is from an artist who has had many, many hits in the last couple of decades. This song is called "I Believe Most People Are Good." This is the chorus. "I believe most people are good, and most mamas ought to qualify for sainthood." You can tell this automatically. That's a country song. You know, I don't have to say anything else. "I believe most Friday nights look better under neon or stadium lights. I believe you love who you love. Ain't nothing you should ever be ashamed of. I believe this world ain't half as bad as it looks. I believe most people are good." Listen to this verse, by the way, if you want to know what's the problem with Christianity in America today. I bet a lot of Christians think, "Yeah, this is good." But just listen to this. "I believe them streets of gold are worth the work, but I would still want to go even if they were paved in dirt." That's Luke Bryan, the theologian. That's the country music gospel. David was just a good guy in his heart. David was just a good... First of all, can I just say one second? That does more spiritual damage. That song does more spiritual damage than a lot of the music you wouldn't let your children listen to. So let's just throw that out there. That's the country music. He was just a good guy in his heart. Now, how do we know that that's not what it means? How do we know? Well, any time that we're not sure what something means in Scripture, we have a principle that we use, which is called Scripture interprets Scripture. So whenever it is murky, whenever the water is murky in Scripture, we go to a place where we know it's clear. All right. And just so you don't think that it's my opinion that Luke Bryan is wrong and that David was not just a good old guy, here are some clearer places that I went in Scripture to prove that God did not choose David because he was a good old guy and just had a good heart. First of all, how about Jeremiah 17:9? "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" How about Romans 3, which, you know, we just had that. Well, I guess we didn't just have it, but we've had it recently because Claude's preaching through Romans in the morning. "No one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God." How about from Jesus' mouth himself in Matthew 15? Someone asked him about eating things and if it makes you unclean. And he says, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So, first of all, I think what we can say is David being a man after God's own heart does not mean that he just had a good heart. Compared to all to old Saul, just that bad guy, Saul probably listened to rap music or to classical music or whatever music you don't like. I don't know what it is. No, that's not the case. That's not. And this is a good little aside application. We have to be very careful about lionizing the people in the Bible. It's very easy to do that. Some of you are like, what does lionizing mean? Don't use it until you know what it means. I'm going to be very careful about making them heroes. There's only one hero in the scriptures. There's only one hero. Paul's not a hero. Peter's not a hero. David's not a hero. Moses is not a hero. They are broken men who are used by the hero, Jesus Christ, to achieve what he wanted to achieve. So that's just a little side application. All right, well, if that's what it doesn't mean, if it doesn't mean that, then what does it mean? Well, you might be surprised to know, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised to know, that scholars are pretty divided about what this phrase means. They're in two camps. And it's not like typically in biblical scholarship you might have like the liberal scholarship who doesn't believe that the Bible is God's word. And you have like the conservative people who... It's not like that. There are people on both sides who we would say, oh, these are our friends. We want to follow them. There are two ways. I'm gonna take you through both of them. And then I'll let you decide for yourself. No, then we'll try to make some application. The first one is the traditional or the older viewpoint, which is this. A man after God's own heart describes David's regenerated heart of faith. So when it says that God had found a man after his own heart, what it meant was that God had given David a regenerated heart of faith. That David was going to be a king who had a new heart. Not an old heart of flesh, but a heart from the Spirit. And there's lots of evidence that this is the case in the Bible about David. I'll give you four things. First of all, David, how do we know, why would we think that David had a regenerated heart? Well, the first thing is that he trusted the Lord. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, the Lord who delivered, he's talking to Saul about Goliath, and he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul says to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David believed. His faith was in the Lord. I think there's very little question about that. First of all, he went to fight like a 9-foot man with a slingshot. So, like, there you go. That's like the first thing. But there's a ton more than that. But, I mean, David believed in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. But not only did he trust in the Lord, but he loved God's word. This is from Psalm 119. For I delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. So he trusted God. He was steeped in his word. David was a thankful person. David wrote Psalm 26, which says, I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling of all your wondrous deeds. So he trusted the Lord, right? He loved God's word, right? He was thankful. He was thankful to God. And also when he sinned, which he did, he repented. Psalm 51 highlights David's repentance of probably his most famous sin, which was that he had an affair and impregnated Bathsheba, and then he kind of basically mafia style murdered Bathsheba's husband to cover it up, Uriah. Arranged it so that he would die, and David had a plausible deniability, but he did it. And then in Psalm 51, which is a very famous psalm, a psalm that you should probably read over and over again, he talks about that. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is someone who is repenting. He's owning his sin. I talked to the youth this very morning. We're in Judges, and I talked to them this very morning about the difference between repentance and regret. Regret is when you're sorry you got caught. You know, you can tell, I told them this, I said, you can tell that you're sorry you got caught and you're not really repenting when your parents start to give you the speech and you're just like, look, can we get over with the speech and just take my phone or my keys or whatever we're doing? That's a heart of regret. And you don't want to own your sin. You don't want to talk about it. But a heart of repentance is a heart that owns its sin, and it's no longer in fear. It doesn't live in fear of it, of the sin, because he knows, because a heart of repentance knows that God has taken it away. And that's what you get in Psalm 51. So David, he trusted the Lord. He had faith. He loved God's word. He was thankful. And when he sinned, he repented. Right? And those are not why God did not love him because he did those things. Those are evidence that he was loved by God. Right? The evidence that God had regenerated his heart are these things, these four things. So that is one way that people have typically understood David is a man after God's own heart. David is a man after God's own heart. It describes David's regenerated heart of faith. The second one, slightly newer, in theology, things are like 200 years old or new. So, but slightly newer is that a man after God's own heart, or they would say a man according to God's heart, it describes the way David was chosen. Especially it comes out in that 1 Samuel 13 verse where it says, the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. Now, whose heart is he talking about? What he's saying there is this. He's saying what these theologians say is this, is that it means that God chose David according to God's heart. That David's heart is not really what we're worried about here. So what they're saying is this, is that, you know, Saul was a king that was chosen for his qualifications. He was tall. He was a mighty warrior. He was chosen to the qualifications of men, what men would look for with a king. But David was chosen according to God's heart. And what does God's heart do? He takes the weak things and he shames the strong. David was the youngest of Jesse's sons. In fact, when they showed him all the sons, God kept telling Samuel, well, not him, not him. And a couple of times Samuel was like, now this is obviously him, God. And God was like, nope, it's not him. And finally he said, Jesse, are you out of sons? And he goes, well, there's the youngest one. He's out tending the sheep. We don't really care about him. He's like, well, bring him here. And David, that was David. David was the one. God takes the weak things of the world, like David, and he shames the strong things of the world, like Saul, like Goliath. And so what it means that David was a man who was called according to God's heart is that David, there's nothing really special about him. What was special about him is that God used him. God does not call people because they've got it all together. God takes broken people and he puts them back together. God does not call special people. God does special things with very ordinary people. That's the idea behind this interpretation of that passage. I want to throw this out to you. What if it's both? What if it's both? What if God, certainly that aligns with Scripture. What if God chose David to be king because God had regenerated David's heart? And what if God chose David to be king because he was weak and the youngest and didn't really deserve to be king? And yet that's what David does. I mean, that's what God does. He takes weak things and he makes them strong. I hold both those. I don't know which side I want to be on, so I'm just going to say you can be on both. But those are the two main interpretations of the passage. Okay, well, that was enlightening, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you're like, thank goodness this is over with. So what? Okay. And this is what we should be asking at the end of every sermon. So what? Two things. First, if you've been walking with the Lord a long time, okay, if you've grown up in the church, if you're in high school or junior high and you've grown up in the church, and you're like, and by the way, this happens to everyone, so if this is happening to you, don't totally freak out. Am I really a Christian? Like, do I really believe this? Like, is this, like, or am I just kind of going through the motions? Well, David's heart is a great way to think about what it means to be regenerated. Do you find yourself trusting the Lord, loving his word, living a life of thankfulness toward him, and repenting from your sin, not just regretting it, but repenting? These are all signs that the Lord is at work in you, and you have a heart of, you have a new heart. You are a new creation. That God has replaced your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. All right, so if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, these are the kind of questions you ought to be asking yourself. And for most of you, if you have been walking with the Lord a long time, you're going to be like, man, you can look back when you were younger and say, wow, the Lord has really done a work in my life. You know, you might even look back just a year or a month and say, wow, look how the Lord has. And he gets all the glory for that. You get none of it. Or maybe you don't feel like you really add up to much. Maybe you don't feel very special. Maybe you're like, I'm just living my life here in Montgomery, Alabama. And do you ever wonder, I don't know if you guys wonder this, like, what are they going to say about me when I die? Well, he was a plumber, you know. First of all, I kind of wish I was a plumber, but lots of times they feel a lot more useful than I do. They, well, he did this, or well, she was a mom, or she was a sister, or well, he was a father, or he was a husband, or, you know, whatever. What are they going to say about me? Like, does my life have any meaning? Does it matter at all? And you might be discouraged in that way. And I think that for you, the story of David was written. Because David was left tending the sheep. He was an afterthought, an outcast. All right? He was not going to receive anything. He was going to receive like 1/14 of his father's wealth, whatever that was. David became king. God chose David because God has a heart for people who feel overlooked, who feel like outcast, who feel like they don't matter. If you feel that way, I have good news for you. You are the exact kind of person that Jesus loves. You're the exact kind of person that Jesus would die for. And you might say, no, well, maybe I don't totally feel like that, but I've done really, really bad things. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what my thought life is like, or you don't know what I say to my spouse or to my loved ones or, you know, to my children. You don't know how I've done this or that. And yet again, David preaches to us, and God preaches us through David and says, look at this guy, this murderer, this liar. I mean, think about David's relationship with his children for a second, if you know the Bible at all. God worked through him, and he can work through you too. There's no one that is so far gone that God can't give them a new heart, because that's what God does. He chooses according to his heart, not according to yours. Well, let's pray. Lord, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Lord, create in us clean hearts. Renew within us a right spirit. Only you can do that. It's so tempting to look around at the world and to believe that kind of good old boy gospel. There's no hope there, Lord. Lord, give us hope. We are broken and humbled before you. Have mercy on us like you did your servant David. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.